Good morning, everyone, and welcome to ECL second quarter 2012 results conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued yesterday, it is available on the company's website at www.e-cl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that the information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Verdian. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lord Verdian, and I'm the CEO of ECL, and with me are Marcus Bussoni, our CFO, Bernardita Infante, Deputy CFO, and Marcela Munoz, our Investor Relations Officer. We shall now begin our quarterly investor conference call to discuss ECL's results for the second quarter and the first half of 2012. We'll start with some industry highlights. As discussed in our last conference call during the first quarter of 2012, average monthly marginal costs in the SINK system showed a declining trend, mainly due to the entry into commercial operation of efficient coal projects in the system. These include our CTA and CTH projects with combined gross capacity of 337 megawatts and AES Gener and Gamos 1 and 2 units with combined capacity of over 520 megawatts. Indeed, during the first quarter of 2012, coal generation increased 56% and accounted for 86% of electricity generation in the state. As a result, during the first quarter, marginal energy costs averaged $76.4 per megawatt hour, which represented a 27% drop from the same quarter the year before. However, in the second quarter, marginal costs rose to an average of $120 per megawatt hour due to planned and forced outages of other coal-fired plants in the system. Coal generation dropped 7% compared to the first quarter, and the decrease was covered with gas and diesel generation. In the first half of 2012, coal generation in the SINK accounted for 82% of total generation. LNG generation accounted for 14%, while diesel fell to represent just 3% of total generation. With respect to gas generation, AES Gener's gas plant in Salta did not deliver electricity to the SINK during the period. While electricity generation with LNG fell 42% in the first quarter due to the overhaul of our combined cycle unit 16 and the end of the Escondida LNG arrangement with Gas Atacama in January, in the second quarter, LNG-based generation increased to meet the shortfall in coal generation. ECL's electricity generation, considering 100% of CTH production, increased by 17% compared to the first half of 2011, mainly due to the commencement of commercial operations of CTA and CTH and the good performance of our generation assets. We reported a 60-day outage for the overhaul of our Unit 16 in the first quarter and plant outages at our U-12 and U-13 coal-fired plants in the second quarter. In the second quarter, our generation accounted for 63% of the SINK's total generation, up from 55% in the previous quarter. According to SIDEC statistics, we can see that AES Gener's subsidiaries accounted for 28% of total generation in the second quarter, down from 33% in the first quarter, because of outages of its Angamos plants. On the other hand, Endesa Celta and Gas Atacama, taken together, fell from a 12% share in the first quarter to 8% in the second quarter of this year, due to maintenance works at Celta and the early termination of the LNG supply arrangement with Escondida in January. Now, what about recent events? I would like to go briefly over the relevant events that took place during the first half of this year. ECL's share returned to the IPSA, which is a selected share price index in Chile, beginning January the 2nd, 2012. The annual ordinary shareholders meeting held on April 24, 2012 approved a dividend payment on account of 2011's net income in the amount of 61.0468 cents per share. On May 16, 2012, we paid $64.3 million, which added to a provisional dividend for $25 million in August 2011, amounting to a total dividend of $89.3 million, equivalent to 50% of 2011's net income. On January 1, 2012, the power supply contract with ML became effective. ML is the only distribution group in the SING serving regulated clients, which include residential and commercial consumers. On June 7, 2012, following the approval of IPR's shareholders, GDF Suez acquired 30% of IPR GDF Suez. Consequently, IPR became a wholly owned subsidiary of GDF Suez. And on July 2, 2012, IPR's shares were delisted from the London Stock Exchange. ECL achieved a new milestone in its emission reduction and plant modernization program, which considers a total investment of approximately $170 million. On July 21, it inaugurated a back filter at its 85 megawatt unit 12 in Tocopilla with the attendance of the Subsecretary of Energy, Mr. Sergio Del Campo. I will now comment the second quarter results compared to the same quarter of the year before. Net income. In the second quarter, net income after taxes reached $6.6 million or 6 cents per share. This represented an 87% decrease compared to the second quarter of 2011. Among the factors that contributed to the $43.5 million drop in net income compared to the same quarter of last year, we can mention, first, a $30.8 million EBITDA decrease. Second, a $11.8 million negative variation in foreign exchange earnings, as we reported a $10.6 million foreign exchange profit in the second quarter of last year and a $1.2 million foreign exchange loss in the second quarter of 2012. Third, a $6.6 million increase in depreciation resulting from the startup of CTA and CTH. And finally, a $7 million increase in interest expense because the interest expense on the CTA project financing ceased to be capitalized. The most relevant positive effect was the $11.2 million drop in the income tax provision resulting from the decrease in taxable income and reduction in the tax rate from 20 to 18.5%. About the operating results, sales of energy and capacity dropped by 18% compared to the same quarter of the year before. They amounted to $261 million. This was a result of an increase in physical sales combined with a reduction in tariffs. Physical sales rose 16% to 2,216 gigawatt-hours due to the start of the event of the ML contract and higher sales to the spot market. This increase offset a 9% drop in physical sales to unregulated clients explained by the end of the Minera Spence contract in July 2011, although a new contract with Minera El Tesoro became effective in March. Average monomic tariff fell 29% from $167 per megawatt hour in the second quarter of last year to $118 per megawatt hour in the second quarter of 2012 for the following reasons. First, PPAs with tariffs linked to coal generation became effective during 2011 as CTA and CTH became commercially operational. Secondly, we reported some contractual tariff revisions. Third, the Minera Spence PPA, which had tariffs linked to a more expensive fuel mix, ended in July 2011. And last, the ML PPA presented lower tariffs, averaging $97 per megawatt hour in the second quarter. This contract tariff is indexed every 6 months to Henry Hub and the U.S. Consumer Price Index, CPI. In case of variations of over 10% in the Henry Hub Index, the tariff is adjusted within the six-month period. A tariff adjustment became effective in May. ECL reported net spot sales of 28 gigawatt hour in the second quarter, while in the second quarter of 2011, it reported net spot purchases of approximately 265 gigawatt hours. Spot sales reached $12.3 million in the second quarter. Now about operating costs. Direct costs also decreased, but not as much as a decline in revenues. Our gross electricity generation increased by 39% due to the startup of CTA and CTH. Also, our generation network reported good performance, while other coal-fired plants in the system were unavailable due to plant enforced outages. Our coal generation increased by 44% compared to last year, and our LNG-based generation increased 38%. Despite our increased electricity generation, our fuel costs fell 4% due to the greater proportion of coal in use in our fuel mix, and an 8% decline in oil prices, to which LNG and diesel prices are linked. Coal prices were relatively stable during the period. Physical spot energy purchases dropped by 87% given ECL's increased share in the sink generation during the second quarter. Therefore, the cost of spot purchases fell by 61% or by $22 million. While SG&A expenses reported a moderate decline, in part owing to exchange rate effects, we reported a $2.4 million increase in other operating income, largely attributed to an insurance payment for a past loss in our fuel oil plant in Central Zemaya. Then about electricity margin and EBITDA, our gross electricity margin, calculated as revenues from electricity sales minus fuel costs and spot energy purchases, decreased by 23% to $96.7 million. The electricity margin, expressed as a percentage of electricity revenue, reached 37%, 2 percentage points below the figure reported in the same quarter the year before. As explained earlier, this was due to the decline in average realized monomic tariffs for two main reasons. New tariffs reflecting lower average variable costs from the company's new fuel mix and the lower average tariff for the ML contract. The latter has been affected by the low Henry Hub prices, which have decoupled from global LNG prices. The company has subscribed a long-term LNG supply contract at Henry Hub prices to supply the ML contract. However, this contract will not become effective until the last quarter of 2012. Consequently, the electricity margin has decreased because of the need to meet the ML contract with spot electricity purchases or generation based on LNG at oil index prices. The second quarter EBITDA reached $51.1 million, a 38% decrease compared to the $81.9 million reported in the second quarter of 2011. Then now I will comment about the first half results compared to the same period of 2011. First, the net income. In the first half of 2012, net income after taxes reached $46.6 million or 44 cents per share. This represented a $37.5 million or 45% decrease with respect to the first half of 2011. This decrease is mainly explained by the following factors. First, a $39 million drop in operating income. Second, an almost $15 million increase in interest expense since the interest expense of our CTA project financing ceased to be capitalized in July 2011. Third, an almost $3 million increase in other income, partly explained by insurance payments. And fourth, a $15 million decrease in income taxes due to lower income and a lower applicable tax rate. Then about operating results, EBITDA reached $135.2 million, a 16% decrease compared to the first half of last year. This was mainly due to lower average realized tariffs charged to unregulated clients and lower average tariffs to regulated clients explained by low Henry Hub levels. Unregulated tariffs fell 24% from an average of $162 per megawatt hour in 2011 to $123 per megawatt hour in the first half of 2012. As mentioned earlier, this is explained by new PPAs with prices tied to coal generation following the commencement of operations of CPN CTH, the end of the Spence contract, and implementation of contractual tariff adjustments. The ML contract presented an average realized monomic tariff of $105 per megawatt hour, and the ML contract accounted for 16% of total electricity sales in the first semester. Physical energy sales increased 21% to 4,472 gigawatt hours. Sales to unregulated customers fell by 236 gigawatt hours because of the end of the spent PPA and low demand of some mining operations during the Bolivian winter. But this drop was offset by 829 gigawatt hours sold to ML and 175 gigawatt hours sold on the spot market. So, even though physical sales increased, energy and capacity revenues dropped by 10% due to the drop in tariffs. Total revenues decreased 9% to $574 million. About operating costs, our gross electricity generation expanded by 33% due to the startup of CTA and CTH and the good performance of our coal plants, with the exception of the maintenance outages of our units 12 and 13. Coal generation increased from 71% to 79% of ECL's total generation. Displacing generates based on diesel. Other coal units in the system were out of service, particularly during the second quarter. Our LNG generation decreased in the first quarter due to the overhaul of our unit 16 and sales of gas to generators in the SIC. However, in the second quarter, LNG generation increased and contributed to compensate for the reduction in coal generation in the system. Despite the increase in our gross generation and relatively stable fuel prices, our fuel costs dropped 10%, mainly due to a lower cost fuel mix. The cost of spot energy and capacity purchases fell 33% due to lower physical spot sales and lower average marginal costs in the first quarter. Other direct operating costs increased, mainly due to sub-transmission tolls associated to the ML contract. In short, costs decreased, but not in the same proportion than tariffs decreased. In part, this is explained by the end of bridge contracts, which had higher margins and were replaced with PPAs with tariffs linked to coal prices. The other main reason is the gap between Henry Hub, to which the ML tariff is linked, and WTI, to which spot prices and the current LNG supply are linked. Depreciation increased by $10.9 million to $62 million due to the startup of CTA and CTH, contributing to the drop in operating income, which amounted to $69 million in the first half of 2012. Then now about the balance sheet. ECL has total assets of $2.8 billion, with net fixed assets amounting to $1.8 billion. Cash balances decreased by $20 million from the end of 2011 to approximately $172 million. Cash from operations reached $126 million, net of interest payments for $20 million. Cash resources were used to finance capital expenditures of $79 million. Mainly for the overhaul of Unit 16, the environmental improvement project, and final payments under EPC contract for CTA and CTH. We also paid dividends in May for $64 million and repaid debt in an amount of $3 million. Intangible assets amounted to $307 million and correspond to the valuation of CTA and the CTH PPAs, which are being amortized over a 30-year period. Our financial debt has not changed. It is composed of the $400 million 144A bond with maturity in 2021 and the CTA project finance, which has an outstanding balance of $281 million and has final maturity in 2025. Equity decreased by $3.4 million to $1.7 billion due to an increase in the negative mark-to-market of the interest rate swaps associated to the CTA project finance, minus a $14 million provision corresponding to the 30% regulatory dividend payment. This amount was deducted from net worth and added to the accounts payable item under short-term liabilities. The last 12-month EBITDA was approximately $342 million, and considering gross financial debt of $707 million, we have a gross debt-to-EBITDA ratio of 2.1. Finally, we would like to give you some guidance of our perception of our business outlook. We foresee an encouraging future for our business, given the number of mining projects on the pipeline, ensuring strong demand for electricity in the coming years. However, there's uncertainty as to the timing of these projects. As advanced in our last quarterly call, we are facing some challenges in the short run that have begun to take effect in our 2012 results. As explained in our last call, our business is subject to the risk of variations in the availability of fuels and their prices. Our policy is to hedge as much as possible against these risks through the indexation of the energy tariff incorporated in our PPAs and the fuel mix taken into consideration in the tariffs. The tariff of ML contract, which became effective at the beginning of 2012, is readjusted semi-annually according to the Henry Hub Index and the US CPI. In case the Henry Hub Index taken into consideration for the calculation of the PPA tariff varies by more than 10%, the tariff is adjusted within the six-month period. A more than 10% drop in the Henry Hub Index has twice occurred this year. One effective in May 2012, and another that will become effective in August. The company has signed a long-term LNG purchase contract at Henry Hub prices to supply the ML PPA, but however, this contract does not come into effect until the fourth quarter of 2012. Until the LNG purchase contract begins, our company will remain temporarily exposed to the mismatch between Henry Hub and the fuel price or system marginal cost, which the company will have to face to fulfill its power supply obligations under the ML contract. Other PPAs included a tariff adjustment capturing the new fuel mix used in generation with a greater weight on coal. Therefore, the decline in average realized monomic tariffs observed in the first quarter is expected to continue through 2012. As long as conditions in the SING and the SIG power grid so permit, we have begun to sell LNG to Endesa for electricity production out of Central Taltal. In this way, we are contributing to alleviate the tighter power supply conditions currently existing in the northern part of the SIG as a result of the drought and thermal plant outages. In December 2010, we signed an agreement with YPF by which YPF committed to pay $28 million compensation for past interruptions in gas deliveries. YPF still owes us $16.5 million under this agreement. Given the restrictions in Argentina to make dollar payments abroad and the expropriation of YPF by the Argentine government, we cannot assure the full recovery of the YPF receivable. Our plan includes new investments to meet the increased power demand in the north of Chile. We continue to work in our Infraestructura Energética Misiones project, consisting of up to two coal-fired power plants, each with gross capacity of 375 megawatts, including a new port facility. We are currently participating in conversations and bidding processes with potential off-takers. The execution of PPAs is the key item that will trigger the decision to build one or two of these units. At the same time, we are working on the capital structure of the project and the selection of key parties, such as the EPC contractor and potential financial providers. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our presentation. We thank you very much for your attention and are open to any questions you may have.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone at this time or at any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that when you pull your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. And your first question comes from the line of Felipe Lil, Banco Merrill Lynch.
Oh, hi. In fact, it's Diego Moreno. I just have a question regarding your growth perspectives. Like, we heard from you from the last year that you have, like, 375 megawatt project. as a potential. I'd like to know if you guys are close to get this PPA to start to build the plan, or if it's not gonna come through this year, if you are planning to rise your dividends as you're gonna face no further use for your generating cash flow.
Yes, thank you very much for your question. So first of all, about our prospects of new coal power plants, indeed we are dependent on our clients because we will not give notice to proceed before we have PPA signed for a major part of the capacity of these coal plants. So at this moment we are participating in several auctions and we are in commercial conversations with some clients, but it is indeed true that in general at this moment in the north of Chile there are some delays in the final investment decisions of certain big mining projects. They have to do with local conditions about legalization of projects and uncertainty in the market, and so we are dependent on the investment decision of these clients to give our own notice to proceed. At this moment, we still see that there are two main clients that would be able to take a decision in 2012, but of course we cannot be sure if they are not going to delay their decisions as well. So I cannot give you any assurance that we finally will be able to give a notice to proceed in 2012 or that it will have to be delayed until 2013.
And because of that, you're going to eventually rise up your payout for dividends?
I would say that the payout of dividends, in general, we would have a policy to pay out as much as we can without bringing the company in danger or bringing our rating in danger. But I also have to say that the coal projects are not the only projects that we are looking into at this moment. And so if another interesting opportunity comes up, then we might also invest in other kind of projects. And so the final dividend payment will depend on what projects bring these other opportunities.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Adolfo Artizar, Santander GBM.
This is thanks for the conference. I have two questions. First, you recently talked about the contract with ML, about the mismatch between the energy tariffs and the supply contract. I want to know which is the exact date of the fourth quarter when the new supply contract that and here we have prices, it will begin. If it will be at the end or at the beginning of the quarter. And the second question is do you think that the new level of non-regulated tariffs should maintain from now on, or we could see some increases in the future? Thank you.
Yeah, so to answer your first question, the new contract starts on the 1st of October, so it's the beginning of the new quarter. And the reason is that there was a general agreement between the G4 mining companies and the LNG terminal, which made it impossible to come with own shipments of LNG to the terminal in Mejillones. So this agreement ends at the end of September, so at the 1st of October we'll be able to bring our own shipments of LNG. On the second question is a rather more difficult question. So first of all, the existing PPAs are mainly indexed to fuel prices. So if there is a further increase in fuel prices, then these tariffs will go up again. And secondly, about new PPAs, I think at this moment all the main generating companies have contracted their full capacity, and so if there are new demand from new clients, then they will have to accept bridge contracts until the moment that new capacity comes online, and this will take 4 to 5 years. So I expect that new contracts will be rather more expensive than the actual ones, yeah, due to the shortage of new capacity.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Ezequiel Fernandez, Scotiabank. Mr. Fernandez, your line is open.
Yeah. ¿Cómo hablo?
Excuse me, we cannot understand you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jose Bravo, CHG. Jose, your line is open.
Press and wouldn't satisfy the contract with the mail.
Excuse me, I'm afraid that part of your question was lost. Could you repeat your question, please?
Yes, of course. Given the situation that happened with BG in the SIC, I wanted to know if there is any risk that Suez wouldn't satisfy the gas provide to ECL to satisfy the email contract.
Well, I think you have to understand that the ML contract is a regulated contract which is very strict. Yeah? So it's a very difficult contract to get out of it. And so I cannot imagine that GDF Suez, having 52% participation in ECL, would come back on the LNG contract, which is vital for us. Yeah. So I do not see that happening. I think the situation is very different from the SIC. Here, GDF Suez has a large interest in ECL, and not complying with this contract would generate high losses in ECL. So I cannot see that this would happen.
All right. Thank you very much. And another question I wanted to ask. I wanted to know if because there was a difference between the marginal cost in the northern part of the thing, in substation Parinacota, and the substation Crucero. So I wanted to know if that difference, because the marginal cost was higher in the Parinacota zone, so I wanted to know if that did have any negative effect on the results of this semester?
Yes, there were some days that there was a decoupling between the two systems, and at that time we had to use our own fuel plants in Iquique and Arica to supply the ML contract. Yeah? So this has definitely had an influence on our results, but this was only true at the hottest days in the summer, yeah? Because then the restriction on the transmission was effective. So this has not been repeated because of the winter, and now there are new investments. First of all, there will be the transmission line from Collahuasi, and secondly, Transelec and us, we will do investments to alleviate this restriction, so the situation will probably not be repeated in the future.
When do you think these investments are going to be taken or be ready?
So the investments of Transelec and ourselves have been tendered already. And they've been assigned to a subcontractor, so the works are going to start soon, and I assume that they will be ready in the course of 2013. There's also the line of Collahuasi already is in operation or will come into operation very soon, and that is also helping the transmission bottleneck towards the north.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star 1 for questions. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to come into the queue, press star 1. And your next question comes from the line of Juan Fernandez, Scotiabank.
Hi, this is Ezequiel Fernandez. I'm sorry about the thing with the sound on the last question. I would like to know if there is any way in which ECL will participate on the SIG-SING interconnection project. Thanks.
At this moment, the our group is working on the environmental permits of the 16 connection, but it's for ECL. This is not immediately core business, so I don't think that we would invest big amounts of money in this interconnection. Of course, we will be very interested to participate in sales of capacity and energy afterwards because of the lack in the Norte Chico. Yeah, we also have a project for a new combined cycle that is in Coloso that we might revise if we see further opportunities in the Norte Chico. But in the project of the transmission line itself, we have no real strategic interest as transmission is not our core business.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Rodrigo Mora, Moneda Asset Management.
Hi. Rodrigo, I have two questions. The first one is related to the capital expenditure spending this year. Until now, the company has spent around $80 million. Could you tell us how much do you expect spending in capital expenditure this year? And the second question is related to the monomic price for free customers. The tariff has been declining, and now is approximately $120 per megawatt hour. I would like to know if this tariff is allowed to get return for new projects, and if you expect that this tariff will continue decline for the next quarter. Thank you.
Yes, to answer your first question, so the CapEx that we have had in the first part of this year was partly delayed payments for our coal projects of last year. So the coal projects came into operation in the second part of last year, but we still had some outstanding payments to do to the EPC contractor. So they have been done. And part of this CapEx money was used for our environmental project and for the maintenance CapEx of Unit 16. So in general, I expect that the second part will have less CapEx, because the environmental project is divided over 3 years. So I would say $60-70 million per year. And of course, there won't be any heavy maintenance capex on the Unit 16 this year. And so also the biggest part of the EPC payments for CTA-CTH have been done. I don't have the exact number of what we expect for the CapEx for the rest of the year, but it will be definitely materially less than the $80 million that we spent on the first half of this year. Secondly, on the tariff, this average tariff is a mix of different tariffs with big clients, with small clients, with some LNG components, so it's very difficult to comment if this is exactly the tariff that we need to have a decent return of a new project. The tariff will depend mainly on the different fuel price indexes, so it will mainly depend on the coal price for the second half of this year, and to some extent on the WTI, and also of course the Henry Hub. Your question about if this price is the correct price for return of a new project, I think that everybody can make a small financial model and to see whether this is what kind of return that this gives. But I would say at the current coal prices that, yes, this is a tariff that would remunerate a coal plant, depending, of course, of what the final EPC cost is of the coal plant.
Okay. One last question, please, Lodovich. What could we expect for the third quarter in terms of results? Have we seen the bottom result in second quarter?
Well, I think that the third quarter will not be very different from the second quarter because there are no main differences. Fortunately, the Henry Hub is going up again, but as explained earlier, the index mechanism is every 6 months unless there's a big jump of more than 10%. So apart from that, I don't see any material changes between the second and the third quarter. I think the big changes will come in the fourth quarter once we start to have available cheaper LNG.
But if we see a lower spot prices, is it possible that the company improved its results?
I would say it depends very much on the availability of our plants and the other plants. If all the other plants are available at a high level, then we can do some more spot purchases, at lower marginal cost, and that would indeed favor us. If on the other side, we continue with a lot of outages, forced and maintenance that we have seen in the first 6 months of this year, we might have to continue produce a lot of energy ourselves, and then we won't be able to take advantage of lower spot prices. Yeah? So I would say it will depend very much on the availability of the different plants in the system, because the balance is it's very sharp at this moment. One plant out of operation will immediately increase the spot prices at a much higher level.
And finally, Lodovich, how much the company is paying for the LNG now? Approximately in US dollar per million BTU.
At this moment, we are paying the same as all the clients of LNG Mekion is paying. I don't know if this is public information, so I will not comment on how much it is, but everybody is paying the same price at this moment.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
This concludes the question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to turn the floor back over to ECL for any closing remarks.
Yes, well, thank you very much for your attendance, and we will hope that by the end of this year we will improve our results. Our main obstacle, I would say, has been this very strange situation with very low Henry Hub prices and relatively high WTI levels. So we hope that by the fourth quarter we will be able to show normal results again. Thank you very much for your attention, and we'll talk to you at the end of the fourth quarter. Or the third quarter, sorry.
Thank you
very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day. 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 Time and have a nice day.